thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. Today, we'd like to focus on a key element in Judaism, kosherness. Be with us. It's going to be interesting. Yael, please. So I was surprised to find out that most of the Jews in Israel eat kosher at home, when they go out a bit less, but still 76% of the Jews in Israel eat kosher at home. 63% don't mix milk with meat, and 72% say they never eat pork. So really, there's a very special attitude on behalf of the Jews, whether we keep mitzvot or don't keep the mitzvot, the commandments, towards kosherness. And in parallel, people are also outraged about the prices they have to pay because of the kosherness, but we don't want to talk about that. We want to focus on something else on this show. What we would like to better understand is, what is kosherness? When we talk about kosherness, what is it? What does it mean? So the question is, what is kosherness? Really? What is it? Kosherness? It's a very big question. I'd say that it is the principal question in Judaism on which all of Judaism is based on, that the people of Israel were founded on it and exist only due to the kosherness. Kosher, what does it mean, kosher? Kosher, it means good, correct, suitable, fitting, and so on and so forth. These kinds of words. For whom? For what is it good? What is it suitable for? That's the question. We are a part of the system of nature. And the system is operating on us through different forces. In the system of nature, all in all, there are 613 forces that in the wisdom of Kabbalah are called the 613 roots. And we, in our world, humans, are also built of, consist of, teriyag, 613 forces, each one of us, which are called the teriyag, 613 branches. And we, in this world, have to reach a state where, through our efforts, through studying, through analysis and examination, to reach a state where our branches, meaning the forces which we operate within us, will fit, will match, will be equal to those forces that are operating upon us from above, called the roots. To make each and every desire of mine, like the upper desire, desire is a force? Yeah, a desire is a force, one against the other. It's called keeping a mitzvah, a commandment. And making these actions on myself, it's called making myself into a kosher person. What is kosher, all in all? Ready, correct, suitable. For what? After a person adapts himself to the upper system, all of his 613 forces, qualities, he adapts them to the 613 forces or upper qualities, if a person does that gradually, he makes a kosher person out of himself, a godly person. And then he achieves his correction, what he actually has to do in his lifetime. Therefore, it says so much about kosherness in the Torah and in all the other books. Kosherness, it's not necessarily with respect to foods. It's also in terms of clothes, what to do with your field, how to behave with animals, with your household, with everything. Kosherness, it's My entire world, the entire world I live in, me and my world, to arrange everything according to the upper roots, is called to make it kosher, to keep kosherness. We, as if limited to foods, or suppose shatnez, which is linsey woolsey, or how do you light or don't light a candle on Shabbat, or how do people behave with each other? What does it mean when you say about someone that he's a kosher person? It doesn't necessarily mean that he eats kosher, meaning he behaves according to the rules. And these are rules that weren't defined by us, or the Turkish government that ruled here, or the English mandate. But these are rules that were given to us by the Kabbalists that researched nature and saw which rules are operating from the upper system of governance and providence on our world. And according to the qualities of these rules that are operating on us, we have to behave. And then we'll feel good because we'll be in sync with the system that's operating us. And there won't be, so to speak, collision between us and the heavens. Meaning that the branches, our qualities, meaning, will precisely match their roots, the upper qualities. Because it's clear to everyone that we're in the system of nature that's operating on us. Nature is operating on us, arranging us, and we have no idea what's going to happen the next moment and how to get along. Only from our experience we see that if we follow our brains, we lose big time. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us. Now, if we take all the corrections that each one of us has to do, and all of us together making kosher people, a kosher society, a kosher humanity, then we can talk about kosherness in different aspects, about different things. But if we look at the upper roots, what it means, a garment, how it has to be, what in the upper roots means to plow the field, to plant trees, to make wine, to slaughter animals, beasts, and so on. We have to learn all these things from above, according to the roots, and then do these things down below, according to the same example. Only there in the upper roots, it's forces. And down here, we also have to do it with our mental forces, and also in our corporeal behavior. That in our world, every higher root has a lower branch. So there's a root for a pig, and there's a root for a sheep. So a pig, it has an impure root. And by the way, also a sheep. Only you can correct the sheep through the correct kind of slaughtering and how you cook it. And there are many rules to it. How do you kosher its meat, salt it, obviously. But this is something that you can't do with a pig because it has such a root that you can correct only at the final correction, meaning after we correct the complete system. Then there are such very high, by the way, roots that can be corrected only at the very end. And therefore, as it says, the angel of death shall become the holy angel, and a pig will be kosher only when we correct everything, then we will be able to correct these things too. First of all, in our roots, in our inner behavior, so that we won't be internally like pigs, and then we'll also be able to correct the pig outside of us, where really it doesn't do any harm. It has no flaw. It's healthy and maybe very tasty. But because the upper root necessitates me to do so, as it says, that you can't eat pork flesh. It means you can eat it, only the Torah prohibited it because there is a higher force which still can't be corrected through our deeds, and we want to be in equivalence with that force. And therefore, this is how we use the corporeal pig, its flesh. And also in each one of us, there is a quality called a pig. And I can even say what that is. What is it? The sign for a kosher animal is that it has split hooves and that it ruminates. That it has split hooves, it means that it discerns between right and left, between bestowal and reception, and that is something that a pig has. It has split hooves, but it doesn't ruminate. Rumination is a sign that it has what's called in the wisdom of Kabbalah Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction, that it receives from the outside in a very special way, where it swallows and doesn't, and swallows and doesn't. There's a special period there, like we know that in animals, in kosher animals, they have a very sophisticated inner system of how they break down food. And in animals that aren't kosher, they don't have such a thing. They swallow it all together immediately, meaning that for them, so-called the reception of the pleasures of the light in this way goes without any calculation, without a masach, a screen, an ochozer, reflected light, without taking into consideration what they do, meaning they swallow everything. Yes, but again, it's all according to spiritual symbols, because before that, there was no such thing before people attained the upper roots in order to become like them, which is the person's entire work. You're saying, you're talking about some higher world system, the system of nature. What is the higher world? The nature that's around us, that we're inside it, and this system is built in a way that it is influencing us with its forces, and in the system there are all in all 613 Tariag forces. The truth is there are 620 Tarach, but we count only those that we can correct for the time being, the Tariag 613, and these forces are operating on us. And you're saying that this lower system, we live in it, yeah, and it's controlled from above, and if we behave according to those forces that are operating on us, then everything's fine. Then we're kosher. We're ready. Why should I be kosher? What does it give me? Because then you're in harmony with nature. You live your life in the best possible, most convenient way. No bad things can happen to you. You feel how nature is operating on you, and you're operating with it. You identify with it. You're in reciprocity with it. And until I correct it, there's a collision between the two. Yes, and then when you'll feel how nature is operating on you, and you operate according to nature, you will feel an attitude towards nature, and then this nature for you will be called Elohim, godliness. Elohim in Gematria and its numerical value equals nature. Why? Because you actually start feeling what nature demands and how can you respond to it and so on. Meaning, you're already talking to the Creator. You discover godliness. You even discover why is it done this way? Why are there 613 forces that are operating on you in nature, and you also have these 613 forces? And what does nature want from you? What does it lead you to as a result of you observing these forces? And you discover, you find out that you can't keep these 613 forces, qualities, laws. You don't have the strength to do it. And then you start getting strength from nature to keep the qualities, the rules of nature, meaning you already have some kind of a reciprocity with nature. You're you're in conversation with nature. You get the forces and you adapt yourself to nature, and then you start feeling that you and nature are in connection, in a hug, in what is called dvikut, adhesion. And then you start feeling the eternity which exists in nature, and you become a part of it, and you don't feel this world. You are as if included in this entire eternal whole, perfect and complete depth of nature, and you discover a different world, the so-called next world. Look what we came to as a result of talking about some kosherness, about a pig or a lamb, but it depends on how you relate to keeping these rules. What do you mean? Are you really doing it in order to identify with the higher system, in order to discover the higher system, this general higher force that is divided into 613 forces in order to influence you, because you start discovering the intention of this general force, which is called godliness. It is in order for you to keep these 613 means, rules, forces, so-called mitzvot, commandments. By that you will acknowledge Him. You will come to a point where you're adhered onto Him, and you enter an eternal world. While you're still living in this world, you start feeling that I'm living forever. I live in a complete and perfect world. So you're talking about an harmonious state between the forces that are operating inside a person and the forces that are operating the world, the nature. How can I know? As a person, it seems great, and I'd really like to match the external frequencies of the forces of nature, because I don't want to be in collision. You don't even know how much you're suffering and how much energy you're spending each and every moment. You have to get out of your confusions and get into the next confusions. You're constantly stumbling upon something and stumbling. You know, my wife, she has this vacuum, a robotic vacuum that drives around itself, you know, cleans everything. She only operates it. But the poor thing all the time bumps itself into walls, tables, chairs, and takes another direction, and another one. And this is our life. When I look at it, I really see the people in our world. So without doing that, but doing everything conveniently, never stumbling upon anything, neither illness nor being poorly treated, not being afraid of anything, feeling yourself like a baby on its mother's arms, and all life long, and everyone together. This is the kind of existence that the system of kosherness brings us to. What does it mean? Kosher, that we're adapted, that we match the higher system of governance and providence. Now, we see that there are people, I want to go back to these forces, the precepts or commandments, mitzvot you talked about, the mitzvot that we do with our hands and legs here, or the mitzvot that we do on the inside in our heart. That's what I want to ask about, because it sounds great. I think that anyone would like to have some kind of compatibility with the forces of nature and live in the harmony you just described. But how can I know? How do I know when am I in compatibility and when I'm not? How do I know what do I have to do in order to arrange my inner forces so that they will match? This is something that you don't know. No one today in our world knows. We fell out of this whole harmony during the destruction of the temple. That's called the destruction of the temple, that the connection between us and the upper system disappeared. So people in the past knew? Of course they knew. From Abraham, our patriarch, till the destruction 2,000 years ago, people knew. We knew how to be in harmony with the higher system, the upper system, because really, the temple is that upper system that we can be in. So what do we have left today? Today the situation is as follows. We don't feel what's right, what's not. We live like that iRobot you described that stumbles upon furniture at home. So what I, as a person, as a society, you want to have a good life? I think everyone does. Please, we only see that the situation is deteriorating. Come and learn what to do. We're open for everyone. We're ready. And what do you teach me? I teach you how does the higher system work, what it demands of us, of each one of us. Women, men, children, elderly, like it says in Matan Torah, the revelation of His godliness, that there were men, women, children, elderly for each and every one of those. So you're teaching me what I have to do in order to match that system. Yes, and then you enter a world of utter good, heaven in your lifetime. What do the corporeal mitzvot of kosherness have to do with this process? These are signs, what is called customs. These are only signs for the mitzvot, the commandments that we have to keep inside us, within our qualities, to adapt ourselves, especially ourselves, to the higher system. By slaughtering an animal and making a kosher food out of it, you don't adapt yourself to the higher system. You can remain with the same qualities you were born with, without any inner correction, without the correction of your so-called soul. By the way, these 613 desires, they are the components of your soul, because when you start correcting them, you start correcting the part in you called the soul, meaning these desires that are more and more suitable towards the higher roots, they become the so-called soul. And as long as I don't match them with the higher roots, I have no soul. So you're saying that if I just keep the corporeal mitzvot, it won't help, because we see that people keep the mitzvot and their life isn't becoming any better. So I have to work in a different way. I have to create first an inner change. No, you can keep on behaving as you behave at home, but the main thing is to start studying how to make yourself kosher. I want to take the kosherness and ask. In many traditions, religions, there is the what you're allowed and not allowed to do, what you actually call the rules of kosherness, laws of kosherness. No, I don't call these the laws of kosherness. What's the difference? Because they do not adapt themselves to the higher system. If you take the Torah, you'll see how detailed it all is. Take, for instance, Shar Mitzvot, the Gate of Mitzvot, Shar Gilgulim, the Gate of Incarnations, Shar Ruach HaKodesh. Take the books of the Ari and see what he writes. Shar HaKavanot, the Gate of Intentions. Then he writes there, why do we have to do these and those things? Because from above come down upon us such and such forces, and then through the correct behavior towards these forces, we balance ourselves and we enter a state which is utterly good, a kosher state. So only in Judaism, all the torments and limitations, they have to do with that higher system of nature. Yes, and in all other religions, the considerations are completely different, completely. So what happens to a person that wants to keep the kosherness, wants to be a kosher person? What happens to him on the inside? What changes start happening in him? What does he feel? He feels the system that's working on him. If he adapts himself to the higher system, that's called keeping the mitzvot, the commandments, the keeping the 613 mitzvot. He starts feeling the higher system, and he is in reciprocity with it, as if talking in reciprocal contact. He influences the system. The system influences him in return, and he discovers as a result the world he's living in. How does he influence it? How it influences him from above? A person starts feeling the eternity of nature. He starts feeling what to do today and tomorrow and how to succeed and how to behave correctly altogether. He feels everything as a result. he's not blind. He knows what world he's living in, what will happen to him if he'll behave this way or that way, what is expected from one moment to the next, how to correctly behave in order for the next moment to be better than the previous one, the current state. It's all in our favor, and we don't owe anyone anything. What does a Kabbalist feel when he keeps these mitzvot? That he is keeping the laws of nature, that he knows where he is, and he keeps these laws, and that through these laws he feels the general force of nature called godliness. Do you feel a difference between... Suppose, do you know whether the meat that you've eaten was correctly slaughtered or not? I don't want to talk about that at all. I only know that I use my qualities, which are called a beast, and that this beast has to be slaughtered in order to make a kosher food out of it, so that from my animalistic level, I raise it to the human level, also called the Adam level, which in Hebrew means he who resembles the higher force, and by that I revive the human part in me that eats my animalistic part and grows as a result by correctly using the rules. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Unfortunately, our time's up. We'd love to keep talking to you about this topic. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Yael. Till next time, all the best.